TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
That down, Grady. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to TalkLine, your show from 10 to 11:30, where you can call in and share what's on your mind, or things you're grateful for, or comments you want to make about stories that are happening in the YK Delta. I'm Diane McGachran, your whomever you are, and we have our first caller, who's our traditional first caller, John. From Bethel. Good morning, John.
Hey, thank you, Diane. I usually get lucky and I pick up the phone and call directly. I have secret ways of doing
it. You're good about that.
Anyway, how are you guys doing over there?
The music.
Oh, good. Anyway, yeah. It's nice. I see people have been snow machining on the river now.
I saw.
On a daily basis. I'd like to urge people to please stay on the trail marker that you're going on. Don't go wander off any other way, you know, it's still dangerous out there. You never know how thick it is, because this fresh snow is deceiving. You know what I mean? You might think it's thick under, it might be thin.
Right.
And not hold a weight. Plus the weight of the snow, you've got to consider that. It's powder, but still weighs down, you know, dispersely. So be careful when you're riding, please. Stick to the markers, and at nighttime use your headlights, and I'm sure these markers have reflective tape on so that you can see where you're going. And just be careful and pay attention. Don't be going 100 miles an hour so you lose distraction on the trail markers. A lot of people tend to do that, you know, speed.
Sure.
Showing off leads to tragedy, too, or accidents, you know. Just use your common sense. Anyway, everyone, please have a good weekend, and, you know, watch out for pedestrians early in the morning. It's still dark and stuff, but anyway, everyone have a good day, huh? You too, Diane.
Thank you very much, John.
You're
you
welcome.
Too.
And everybody else, please be safe and healthy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Okay, so good morning, everyone. I'm going to give out the numbers, and our lines are open. Our email is ready to go. Oh, we have Chico on the line. Sorry. Good morning, Chico. Welcome to TalkLine.
Yes, very good morning to all the way from Chivac. And next time I'll try to beat that first caller, John. Good morning.
The challenge is on. All right, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, good. It's always nice to hear from Chivac. Our numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, and 800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. And you can be anonymous for both your calls and your emails. So if you're a very shy person, you can do that and still say what you want to say. There's a lot going on in the Delta, for sure, and COVID is one of the key things. So just want to encourage people to hunker down and practice what we all have learned over the months to keep everyone safe, which is washing hands, social distance, and keeping track of when you need to quarantine and when you need to be in isolation. Isolation is when you have COVID, and quarantine is when you stay separate from people. You don't have COVID, but you need to stay out of public areas. Excuse me, I'm going to cough now. Sorry about that. Okay. That's not a COVID cough. That's just a morning cough, morning allergies. So slowly, day by day, it's getting a little bit chillier. I'm sure people have noticed later this week it's going to start to go down to the single digits. And today, for our weather, we're going to have partly cloudy with highs in the 10 to 25 above. And tonight it's going to be clear with lows to zero to 15 above. And Saturday, it's going to be sunny with highs 5 to 25 above. And Saturday night will be clear with lows 0 to 15 above. Now, I don't know about you, Grady, but I am just fine anytime it's 0 and above. I feel like that's doesn't concern me. It's real easy to prepare for that. I feel comfortable. And then when it gets much lower than that, especially with a wind chill, then I have to pull out the gear. But I still, once I'm layered up properly, I feel okay.
Or when it teeters, like when it's right at freezing, so that it gets wet and then freezing, wet and then freezing, that can be a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's windy, so it's melty or windy. Otherwise,
yeah.
I don't care what temperature it is, just not melty or windy, please.
Yeah. So anyway, it's we're slowly. Seems like winter comes upon us a little slower these days than it has when I first got out here, which was over 20 years ago, which seems, I can't believe it was over 20 years ago. So lines are open, and as you know, as the show goes on, more and more people start calling and emailing. So now's a good time if you've always wanted to get yourself in on the conversation or you want to share something. It would be wonderful to hear from you. I'm going to give you the numbers again, so prepare to write these down. 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. Okay.
Hey, exposing my bias.
Oh.
I'm curious. Did you see the Steel Salmon and Raven 2020 auction online?
Yes, I did. Amazing pieces of work, and they're using an auction house, so there's a way you can go online and you create an account. I hope someone from there will call, because I don't remember. I think you can Google Steel Salmon.
What I just said, Steel Salmon, you know, Steel Salmon and Raven 2020 will get you there. You'll find it, definitely.
And really beautiful pieces of work. There's like several that I would love to have.
What's funny?
Yes.
Is that the works at the Steel Salmon and Raven auction this year almost highlight the need for us to all get together, because the video does none of them justice, because they're all brilliant. I mean, literally brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Like they all have either a crystalline or a sheen to them, and
yes.
It's amazing how that highlights our absence from each other.
Yeah, they're really beautiful, and I appreciate the kind of effort that people put into those pieces. And I think the all the funds go to scholarships, art scholarships for local youth who might be going into the field of art. And we have a caller calling in, and Ikchuk from Bethel. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I know who this is. I'm good. How are you?
Concerned with what's happening, the rapid surging of COVID.
Yes.
And it's my understanding between now and April, the next 3.5 months, the possibility of the mutation of COVID, which is quite serious. And we have so many villages that I'm concerned about. And the best advice and thoughts that I have during this difficult time is to unite together as a community and as a family, and to abide by the processes and steps of keeping our hands clean, wearing masks, drinking a lot of liquids and begin the process of native medicine, which I have my little family on native medicine that would help their system, immune system. So with that in mind, I also seek that everyone within this region to exercise being positive and not negative. We don't need, we're dealing with a negative issue, that's COVID. And we don't need to add any more stress by making unnecessary remarks. We need to be more empowering and provide counseling, especially to the youth. I'm concerned about the youth.
Yeah.
Give them that opening of line of communication. And that's all I have to say. I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate your words. Okay. I mean, I think that there's kind of a heaviness with this virus. And it's something I didn't really think it was going to go on this many months. We're going to probably head into 1 year of having it always in the back of our minds. There's always something lately to remind us, you know, having to wear a mask, remembering, you know, getting out of your car and realizing you don't have your mask, so you got to go back and get it, which is good to do. And just people who have suffered, families who have suffered greatly, and the concerns that we live in an area where it's not always easy to get the medical care that's necessary due to the remoteness, weather. So I hope people are talking to each other, and it is important to talk with youth and really have conversations with them about what's happening, about the loss of socializing that they would normally do in their school day that they're not able to do right now. Ask them how it's affecting them. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to cough there. Oh, I got something in my throat. Hang on, I'm going to ask Grady to turn the microphone off for a second. Okay, good morning. I apologize, everyone. I have sometimes morning allergies, and I could not help myself. I want to welcome Fritz to the show from Bethel. Good morning, Fritz. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diana. This is Fritz. Thanks for the call. You know, I got a couple of probably comments and questions, I guess. You know, we've all heard what YKHC is doing, you know, down the road and whatnot, or next couple of days, but what is their long-term plan? You know, I think everybody has, you know, needs to know what their long-term plan is. And what's the, how come nobody's, you know, figuring out what the long-term effects are for this vaccine, and why have they not disclosed anything yet on this vaccine? You know, it's the military and the government, the state and the federal government's going to mandate you get the, everyone gets the vaccine, you know. I know we're on a crazy deal right now, which the state and the government, federal government's going to start mandating everything without our knowledge. Either you get the vaccine or you're not allowed anywhere, you know. You know, what's going to happen down the road? What are the long-term effects? You know, what are they putting in this vaccine? You know, I'll call back. I'm pretty sure I forgot quite a few things, you know. Mm-hmm. What is the plan? What's the plan?
And just real quick, just to clarify, do you mean what YK's plan is for vaccine distribution or for...
Well, it's both. What's the plan for the vaccine distribution, yes, and what's the plan for a surge out here in Bethel in the YK area? Mm-hmm. I know there's probably an emergency plan in place, but... And some of us probably know what the emergency plan is if there's a surge of patients that can the hospital can no longer bed people because we're already starting to see majority of the hospitals in Anchorage and Fairbanks getting full. And, you know, I'm just trying to help out the people, not myself, just the people so that they're aware of, because everybody's asking these questions, what's the plan for YKHC? What's the plan for the state of Alaska? You know, it's on everybody's minds. I guess what I'm trying to say is we need reassurance of what's going to happen. I know it's all up to us to control this coronavirus pandemic. If we just stay home, you know, but that alone is not going to do anything, if anything. So, and then what about the board? What's the board doing? You know, like YKHC board, AVCP board. So that I'd just like to put those out and, you know, it's, to help the people out.
Good. Okay.
Know. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you very much, Fritz.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to go to Gisela from U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Did I say your name properly, Gisela?
Hi, how are you, Diane?
Yeah.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Awesome.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I have a couple of announcements on behalf of the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. I know that we're still dealing with this whole coronavirus pandemic and people should be cautious, but we're hosting a virtual Christmas bird count, which is an activity that I hope people will be enthusiastic about participating. Basically what it is, we're hosting the yearly Christmas bird count on Saturday, December 19th. This is a citizen science survey that is put together by Audubon Society. And it's been going on for many, many years. This is its 121st year in which people throughout the U.S., Canada, and some parts of Latin America are invited to participate. So birders and nature enthusiasts of all skill level are invited to join our count here in Bethel on the 19th of December. And generally people that sign up, they are assigned an area within Bethel, and then we ask people to record the number of bird species and the number of birds they've seen within a certain time frame for a count. So if people don't want to be out and about, they can also do a count from their home at their bird feeders as well. And then all the data that's collected is submitted to us, and then we submit it to Audubon so they can get an idea and have a bigger picture on how bird populations are doing. So, like I said, because of COVID, we want to limit the interaction between other people. And normally this happens at the when people submit all their reports. So we're going to be setting up an online submission for the Christmas bird count. And I will be posting more information on our Facebook page. So be sure to follow us at Yukon Delta Refuge. And like I said, this is a fun activity for people of all ages and all skill levels as well. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. So how do, if people are going out and about to record what birds they see or hear, how do you know they're not, how do you know people aren't going to the same spots and just re-recording?
Re-documenting. So people have to register for the activity. And like I said, I'm going to put all that information on Facebook.
I'm
running a little behind this year on the Christmas workout. And whoever wants to participate, basically, they have to sign up and they'll be assigned to an area so that we don't have double counts. And the more people that we have participating in the Christmas bird count, the smaller the area that people will be responsible for covering. And people can do their surveys either walking around their area. They can be on bikes. They can be on a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on the comfort level of every individual. But you know, the overall objective is just to have people out looking for birds and record the species that they see. And like I said, so people of all skill levels are invited to participate. Mm-hmm. And so if people are not very familiar with the type of birds that they can see right now in the winter, I'm going to try to put together a list of resources that people can check out before the Christmas bird count. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, it should be fun.
Yeah. So if not very many people sign up and I sign up, then you may assign me like the entire Delta and I will spend all Christmas. No, but you know, now is the sewage lagoon one of the assignment areas? Because have you ever gone birding at the sewage lagoon? Gisella.
I have not.
Oh, it's a gold mine.
Oh,
you know, yes.
I'm adjusting to the winter.
Oh, okay. Well, when you get a chance, and you know, not every day is great to go there, especially in the summer, but I and a few other people, we do periodically go there because there are lots of birds, lots of kinds of birds hanging out there. Floating, you know, swimming in the water, all the whole thing. So you might see something interesting. But even in winter too, when it hasn't frozen or anything, you can. Anyway, that's your friendly Bethel tip for birding.
Yes, that's my to-do list is good. Yeah. No, and I'm actually looking forward to it because, like I said, it'll give me an opportunity to get out and about and just look around and explore Bethel in a different light.
Right.
Not just kind of like your go to work, go to get groceries, things like that.
No, you know, I mean, it's
just doing something out and about for
fun. Well, isn't it part of your job to be out and about so that you are better informed and stuff?
I should be.
I will let your supervisor know
sure.
That Gisella needs to spend 6 hours outdoors wandering the tundra in order to do the best job she can.
I would be happy to do that. Yes, go ahead and let my supervisor know.
Okay, I'm on it.
Thank you.
All right.
But anyway, so I'll be posting more information on Facebook about that. And I also have a reminder for people on Multnomah Caribou. I wanted to share with folks that the caribou season is closed on federal public lands throughout the herd's range for the remainder of the season, and more specifically to us, disclosure is in effect at the Yukon Delta Refuge. And this decision was made because of a drop in the herd size. It was done by the in-season manager, Mr. Kenton Moose. And like I said, it's a result in the drop of the population. So the count for the herd conducted in 2019 and 2020 has actually dropped to about 13,500 individuals, which is well below the minimum limit of the 30,000 that is set for harvest. And so we're hoping that by closing the remainder of the season, we're giving the herd a chance to increase in size and also allow for harvest in years to come. So if people are listening to this message, we're asking that please stay informed. And when in doubt, call us to get more information. We're opening up the refuge information line to help answer any questions that people may have about caribou. And that number is 543-1008. And likewise, you know, because of COVID and person-to-person interaction should be limited, I'm going to be posting more updates through Facebook and the refuge's website. So, again, this is an invitation for people to look us up on Facebook at Yukon Delta Refuge so that they can get important updates about the status of the caribou herd and other conservation-related issues. So please share this information with friends and family, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that people might have.
Okay.
If not through here, over the phone at 543-1004.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gisela. Really appreciate you calling. And
you're welcome.
I did go up and I saw the all the buildings are gone at Old BIA. They did it.
Yes.
I never thought and it was going to happen in my lifetime, but it happened.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, that's something else that we're really excited about because we're hoping, I mean, there's still quite a bit of work left to do, but we're hoping that we can open a trail, a hiking trail for people in the near future. But like I said, there's still more work to be done. And I will be sharing more information about that as I have it. And, you know, we posted something on about the BIA site on Facebook maybe a month or 2 months ago, and the post went viral. We got a lot of great response from the public and a lot of interest from people about the potential of this hiking trail. And so, you know, we're happy to see this response. And like I said, I'll be sure to share more information about it as I get more updates.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And make sure to tell my supervisor to let me out in about 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I will let him know. All right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
All right. You too. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to go right to Stephen Alexi from Napakiak. Hello, Stephen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Yeah, it's Napaskiak.
Oh, Napaskiak, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
So,
oh, that's...
First of all, thoughts and prayers are going out to those individuals that are going through COVID, and more especially, you know, those that have lost loved ones due to this COVID. And it's a very sad story of one pilot station where the family didn't have a proper goodbye to their loved one, you know, and thoughts and prayers going out to them. But my main concern is, you know, with the school being remote learning, there's a lot of parents out there, I'm pretty sure, that are listening. And there are times, since we're not educators, we get frustrated, you know. I don't know how long this pandemic's going to keep remote learning. And I know back August, Anchorage parents were asking their school district to send the parent stipend for, you know, being part-time teacher, because the big brunt of the work that these educators are supposed to be doing is not being, what you call it, you know, they're not really full-time educating, where, you know, they might be part-time, but they're getting paid full-time, where parents, you know, we're teaching them school-wise. You know, for my part, native way, I'm taking out my two boys that love to be out and teaching them trapping and hunting and, you know, what to watch out for when it's freezing. You know, native stuff. So I think LKSD and other school districts need to look into probably giving parents who are educating their kids, you know, some stipend or something. And this, the end is not in sight yet, as according to these scientists and doctors, we're looking at least by next summer, by getting vaccination, you know. The first people that are going to get this vaccine is the frontline workers, healthcare workers, essential workers, and, you know, where is the governor in all this? We haven't heard nothing from him. When the pandemic first started, he was every day debriefing. I think we need to hear from our governor of what his plans are. and just a little brief of what's going on, because yesterday was, I think, 8 deaths and almost 800 people with COVID. And it's going to continue to rise. Dr. Fauci had warned 2 to 3 more weeks, they'll be seeing a surge of patients. So thank you for letting me put my 2 cents. Good morning.
Thank you, Stephen, from Nebosiak. Okay, we're going to go to a short break. Oh, my gosh, that went by fast. You're listening to KYUK Talk Line, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Thank you.
The Bureau of Land Management announces the availability of the proposed Resource Management Plan and Final Environmental Impact Statement for the Bering Sea Western Interior Planning Area. A 30-day protest period begins December 4, 2020. The proposed plan and environmental impact statement, as well as instructions for filing a protest, can be found at www.blm.gov/Alaska/BSWI. This message brought to you by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management.
If you're an older adult or have a serious chronic medical condition, make sure to put distance between yourself and others to help reduce your risk of being exposed to COVID-19. Stay home as much as possible. Have enough household items and groceries on hand. Monitor your health and stay in touch with your doctor. And here's some advice for everyone. Check in on your friends and neighbors. We're all in this together. Learn more about how to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at coronavirus.alaska.gov.
In support of efforts to reduce the spread of COVID-19 in the Bethel area, the YK Fitness Center is currently closed, but we encourage you to stay active. Being active is an essential part of keeping your immune system healthy and strong. Virtual fitness classes, motivational challenges, health information, and more are available at ykfitness.org. Be safe, stay active, and we look forward to seeing you soon. This message sponsored by the YK Fitness Center.
Hi, race fans. Another update from the K300 Race Committee. We want you to know that the 2021 K300 is going to be much different than the events you know and love. All indoor events associated with the race are canceled or will be conducted virtually. Race headquarters will be closed to the public, and all checkpoints will be set up at remote camps with access limited to mushers and race personnel. But it isn't all bad news. We are working hard to ramp up our online presence so that watching the race from home will be more fun than ever. Stay tuned for more announcements on how we plan to make this the best and safest K300. See you down the trail.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Welcome back. I'm going to go to Tom from Chelista. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you, Diane. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for waiting during our break.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to share a couple updates from Chelista, of course. Just about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, our Aculista distribution went out to shareholders. So if you haven't gotten it in the mail, hopefully within the next 1 or 2 weeks should be arriving. You know, as we know, mail is pretty slow now, especially with some of the post offices that are closed out there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but thankfully we've got over 10,000 shareholders with direct deposit. So if you like direct deposit, all you have to do is download the direct deposit form from our website, chelistacorp.com, or you can email us, shareholder@chelistacorp.com, and request a direct deposit form. But we announced yesterday our annual elders distribution. So this is a special distribution that's just for our original shareholders who are at least 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So those distributions will go out on or before December 18. And this year, we increased it to $350 per original shareholder elder. So that's a total of $900,000 for our elders this year.
Wow. Okay.
And, yep, same thing. Just like Aculista, for those elders with direct deposit, it'll pop up into your bank account. Otherwise, the checks will be mailed on or before December 18. And something else that's exciting about it is for the 2020 calendar year, is our total distributions now are $11 million to our shareholders. So that was the spring distribution, the Aculista that was a couple weeks ago, and then the elders coming up. That'll be $11 million to our shareholders and over $6 million to the YK region. So if anyone needs information on that, just head to Trilistacorp.com, and then you can also go to mytrilista.com to access your account to see when your distribution was sent out.
Okay.
So there you
Good.
Go.
All right. Good announcements, for sure.
All right. Everyone, please be safe out there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. You too, for sure.
All right. Take care.
Okay. We're going to go to Wilson Green from beautiful downtown Anchorage. Hello, Wilson. Welcome to Talkline.
This isn't Wilson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know who you are, but
this is
welcome.
Mary Beth Whalen.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi.
Okay. I'll be talking to Grady in the booth later, but go
okay.
ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to let everyone know about LKSD Food Services Meals on the Bus delivery program that is starting on Tuesday. We are really encouraging people to keep some social distance from each other, especially with COVID happening, so rates happening so high in this region right now. And so in order to help people do that here in Bethel, we have created a contactless meal delivery system that is similar to our pre-existing Meals on the Bus system, but will be delivering to homes. And we will be doing that starting on Tuesday. Like I said, we're going to go Tuesday through Friday for next week and the week after. That'll bring us right up to winter break. And there is a order form that is available on the LKSD Facebook page and also the LKSD website. And if there are people there that don't have internet access, we also have a hotline set up, and that number is 545-8844. And I was answering hotline calls yesterday, and I can tell you it's just a couple minutes on the phone, and we can get you all set up for school meal delivery. And this is actually available to any children 18 and younger in Bethel, so you don't have to be enrolled at an LKSD school in order to get this set up.
Okay, thank you, Mary Beth Whalen.
Yeah.
For calling. And very good. Thank you for telling us about that. That's a really good program LKSD has. So
we really encourage people to sign up today if they haven't signed up. On Monday, we are going to be sorting out how we're doing our delivery routes. So if we can get people to sign up today, either by the Google form or by calling 545-8844, that would be awesome.
8844. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, thank you everyone who's called so far, and our lines are open, and so is our email. And I have one email to read here, and it's a message from YKHC. YKHC would like to offer a message to KYUK listeners. YKHC has a provider in Kotlik offering expanded COVID-19 testing today through the weekend. Kotlik residents can call the local clinic to set up testing or merely arrive at the back door of the clinic on these days to be tested. Okay, great. See, now this is a wonderful service because I see YK going to particular locations. They're going to go over to SLU area here in Bethel, and everyone in that area can get the testing right there. They're going to communities and setting up to do testing directly in the community. So I think this is a really wonderful outreach that they're doing. So today, just a reminder, they'll be in Kotlik. There'll be a YKHC has a provider in Kotlik, and they'll be offering the expanded COVID testing. And this is to go through the weekend. All right, we're going to go to our next caller from Bethel is Cesari. Good morning, Cesari. Welcome to Talkline. I'm sorry, Billy. Billy from, okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to ask you a question.
Okay. Billy.
Once the vaccine is available, will you take it?
Oh, are you talking about me personally?
Yes, you.
Yes, I will if our public health people, I trust them, yeah.
You think it's safe?
I'm just speaking for myself. I don't represent anything, and so I think I'll turn it back to you and ask, are you wanting to take it, or do you feel kind of apprehensive to do that?
No, I won't take that vaccine. It's probably poison.
Oh, okay.
All right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, I should not have even answered that. Okay, Cesari from Bethel. Good morning, Cesari.
Yeah, according to the gentleman, I think the three presidents line up to get that vaccine, but somebody, we better check what they're getting, you know.
Uh-huh.
The Obama, Clinton, and Bush, they want to show to the public they're getting one.
Yeah, I think they agreed they would do it on TV.
Yeah. Okay, so. We don't know what they be having in there. There'll be the vials, but who know what is inside, you know. I'm not going to get that.
Okay.
The simple is, close to 13 million people in the United States get affected. I started reading more and more after I got one. And I have a good one that really get you down, and lots of people put them down. But 13 million people get, that time there was a third week in November when I read that, and the scientists discovering. Two people from the corona started from the February, whatever, to the to present time, to that third week of November, having second time being get the coronavirus. These two people from 13 million people, that is 6.5 million people per person. The chances is solely the. And when you get the vaccination, and worldwide, actually, there was 24 people worldwide to get second time expose themselves to the coronavirus. To that mean, my chances is much better if I no get it, and because if you have 95% effectiveness, your chances is much higher with mine. And we will not know. They've been saying that now they're changing a little bit the story, the social media. They're telling, oh, it's better to get it because you maybe still get it, corona, and we don't know how they work. But we don't know you pass it and you get it that vaccine. You don't know what kind of effect that make it. We know for sure with the 9 months or 8 months, there was only two people after the passage exposed to the corona. So, in my opinion, somebody passed it. If they pass it with no easy way, they've been blessed because they protect them much more with any vaccination would eat. And those were the people who get hurt and have side effects. follow up, because lots of people, 20%, what I understood, they have some of them severe side effects, and they have to transplant the liver, not liver, but the damage the liver too, but lots of times they have to transplant the lungs and damage the kidneys. There is lots of different effects side after. If you have the severe one, what I read lots of from different sources in there, and but those one with the mild passage would no have pneumonias and stuff, and they go right through, no side effect. They're lucky. They're simple for me. They're lucky because they better protect with any vaccine would exist. You know, even you get flu vaccination, it's only 50% on that working. And people see sick left and right from the flu anyway. So if you have one with 6.5 million, that is 0.60 after that, and you have the one to get chances to get again. So maybe the change in the future, but right now with this day, those would deposit pretty safe. And in Delta, with the saying like 2,000 something pass, that means those people is protected. Simple, is protected. Doing the build the immune system would defend themselves. That what is my comments about that. I'm sure there'll be lots of phone calls, the YK, they may be call or not, and they try changes that, because lots of those medicals are changing already in CBS and CNN, and they're saying it's better to get it, because that be sure you get vaccination, be sure in more money, more business. But the truth is right now is it's different thing, different story. So. Okay, I wish everybody would have him that COVID to recover quickly and stay safe and protect yourself. And it's not a thing what I really noticed with that a new elected Biden is telling me, I want one thing only from all people, to use the mask for at least 3 months. And that's good. You know what I noticed? In battle, pretty much everybody use mask for less 3 months. Any office where you go, any place where people getting together outside the store and inside, you go to the Napa, you go to the AC, Swanson's, everybody using mask. And somehow, the COVID still spreading, even more spreading than before. So masks themselves is not always help. You have to look for other ways to protect yourself beside the mask. You should clean, sanitize the hand or handles or staring or whatever. But the mask themselves is not help, because I don't see many people, and you probably don't see anybody with less than a month or two people walking with store with no mask or offices or businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So and they're not stopped to the corona just jump out crazy way every place, and you go look in Anchorage, even that was for 2-3 months, those stores don't let you go in as Walmart and stuff. And okay. This thing boom up big time. So you have to protect yourself other ways too. This keep common sense and try keep clean.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Cesare.
Yeah,
okay. We're going to go to Wilson Green from beautiful downtown Anchorage. I hope he's on the line this time.
Yes, I am on. And
okay.
I have a couple of things I want to bring out.
Okay.
They're important to me, only because having had to deal with COVID myself, you know, I was one of the lucky ones. I ended up having next to no symptoms, and everyone in my household, you know, we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't do drugs. So when as the first week went by, then the second week went by, then my other family members all caught COVID, even my grandkids. But we all had next to no symptoms, and that was a blessing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a good contact for YK region for travel purposes would be if you ended up having COVID and you need to travel as an escort or whatever, you know, there's Dr. Cole at 543-6400. You need to have documents showing that you have passed the infectious stage, which is in most cases 20 days. You know, you have to have documents. Even if you're being, you know, an escort for a family member for surgery or whatever, you have to have that document because you can make it to the airport. And sometimes travel management is not aware, you know, because they require, I mean, at the airport, they require 48-hour testing or, you know, having you have to show that you are negative. And once you've had COVID, you have, you know, up to possibly three months where it'll be in your system, maybe even 6 months. So you have to have that documentation from the COVID management team, which Dr. Cole is handling the YK Delta.
Mm-hmm.
She would have the information as to when they think you were contracted COVID, and the 4 to 6 week time period when, or 4 to 3 weeks, sorry, 14 to 20 days have passed and you have no symptoms, no signs of any kind of illness, no fever and all that good stuff. I mean, you know, the list that they ask me every day here in Anchorage when I was first notified, then I had a provider call every day on how my progress is and, you know, fever down and whatever progress you make during your having COVID. Anyway, you know, my time period passed, and then I asked for them to email me the proof. And I'm glad I did because of having that, I was able to escort my mom when she was able to go home, you know, because it was within that time period.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, my mom had COVID and along with severe pneumonia. It developed into severe pneumonia. In the YK Delta, if you have a family member who has ended up needing to be medevaced, I would say Marcia Coffey with YK is a really important person you need to communicate with and mm-hmm. keep in contact with, even if you're in ANMC or Providence, because she makes things happen, and I would like to thank her for helping me out while I was there, because in most cases, if you take in a family member and you live in Bethel, I mean, you live here in Anchorage like me, she made it happen for my mother because, you know how YK, if you're in the hospital, you have a case manager. The family member who takes on a family member from the village ends up being the case manager. Even though they're assigned a case manager, you still have to know who to contact. You still know how to make things happen for your loved one in your home. You know, when my mom was released from Providence, they were supposed to be transferring her to ANMC, but the day that the transfer happened was Veterans Day. There was no clinics open with AMC.
She was supposed to be admitted into checked.
You know, oh, they gave us a contact number for internal medicine, and no one was answering. So the only best thing to do was wait till they kept on saying, "I guess you have to wait till Monday or wait till the holiday is over." And we did. It's really important to follow through with those initial contacts. When, like the first day I brought her up there, the doctors examined her and said, she does not need to be medevaced, but she needs to continue to be on this oxygen, and, her level was pretty low, the saturation level.
Right.
But now she's home and everything, good for her. You know, my family members here just got past that, you know, 20 days or so. And then my mom was, brought into my home, you know, and we, even though, you know, she was still at the possible contagious state, we used our masks, we sanitized, we cared for my mom the best we could without making her feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and, the important thing was, face mask and sanitizing. And, you know, none of us got sick.
Yeah.
And she was cared for and she felt good. And after a while, after that, you know, in my mom's case, it was 20 days or so that passed. Then the doctor said, the people that discharged her at Providence said, then she's good. She's clear. So she felt a whole lot better not having to wear a mask. And we still sanitized and did all our things. Which brings us to family members from the Delta. If you're ever medevac to Anchorage, ANMC, or Providence, when you are discharged, make sure to ask for your clearance date. You know, they'll give you a date of possible contraction and after no symptoms, how many days
good
you're
to know.
Clear.
Yeah.
Clear to travel. You have to have that document if you get on the plane, because they'll ask that same thing. You know, 42-hour test, you have to show that you're negative or you have a document. And I had a document from my mom, and my document was saved on my phone. You know, I saved it to my phone, and then we were able to travel. Because it took about three attempts to travel to finally travel. So we got kicked back two or three times. And if you're traveling with oxygen, you know, concentrator, you have to request and mention to travel management that you need to have a concentrator, oxygen concentrator, because we got kicked back.
I know.
ANMC did not, I told the travel management, my mom is on oxygen, and they said, okay, it's all good, but they didn't know I had to have a concentrator, oxygen concentrator, which is different from an oxygen can or tank or canister.
Right. So yeah.
It was kind of frustrating, and I think someone by the name of Diane Kecker might have noticed my frustration.
Oh, please. I know. There's just a lot to go through. I mean, it was a hard time, but you did a great job with your mom and your family,
and
everyone.
Thank you for being there. Thank you, Marcia Coffey. Thank you, Dr. Cole. I got a call from YKHC, and they're working on trying to establish if she needs oxygen, and they have the information on where to send that concentrator back, because for you on Medicaid, the oxygen concentrator travel pack is not covered by Medicare or Medicaid. You have to assume responsibility, financial responsibility, by having a credit card or something to cover the cover the item, and that's what I had to do in order for my mom to get issued a concentrator. So these are good things to know.
Okay, yeah, so, very helpful. And Marcia Coffey is a medical social worker at YK, and she's really terrific and can help with some of the details. And you are sounding like a really good medical case manager now, Wilson, because
yeah,
now you know some detail.
Yeah, we have to be
sure.
able to pass on what we know to help others, you know, because that's the Yupik way is help others.
Yeah, okay, good.
And have a good weekend, and everyone, stay warm, stay covered. Here in Anchorage, we're up for the whole month of December.
Mm-hmm.
The city mayor has, or city manager or whoever, has declared the month of December as lockdown. So there's no open socialization more than six or something like that. You wear a face mask, and
okay.
People who are not wearing face masks outside, even outside in the public area, there will be a ticketed of some kind.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to head into a break here, Wilson, and sorry to cut off like that.
Enjoy your day. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, everyone, we're going to take a short break. I don't hear the beautiful little music, but so those of you that are holding, I really apologize. If you could just hang on for another minute or two while we do our break, we'll get right back to you, Stephen and Anonymous. All right, thank you, everyone.
TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
The holidays are a time of joy, and as Alaskans, we can keep them that way by working together to keep everyone safe. To do this, we need to practice a few simple things. Keep your social circle small, mask up, and keep at least 6 feet between you and others. Zoom with family, or drop off care packages for neighbors or friends. This year is different, but by working together, we can all have a safe and joyous holiday season. This message brought to you by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services.
Hi, Rays fans. This is an early and important update from the K300. We are working hard to plan an exciting race that will keep our community safe. All visiting mushers, handlers, and volunteers will undergo a strictly enforced testing protocol, and they will stay in isolation at a central location in Bethel. But we don't have the ability to enact those policies on visiting spectators. We need your help. The message is simple. If you're considering having friends or family visit for the K300, this just isn't the year. Please help us keep our community safe, and wait until next year to share Bethel's one-of-a-kind event with your loved ones. Thank you. We'll see you down the trail.
Dr. Ann Zinkamuk, Chief Medical Officer of the State of Alaska.
Jolly Dorton Bugnati.
pilhut kluta uksuk pluhti kaput tagam tamam taikayo kahkaugut. Asigalutin piukkina mulinga kugulutin tkanagatlukan kluki. Tukkaistagaluku su COVID-19 Guyana. Unapyuna rifka ga Department of Health and Social Services am Jali Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We're going to go to an anonymous caller from Bethel. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning.
Thank you for waiting.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a big shout-out to the educators, teachers right now that are doing an excellent job. You know, they're not doing half a job right now. They're doing maybe two jobs, just trying to keep these kids up to date during this pandemic we're in that, you know, nobody planned on it happening, and it seems like a lot of people are dealing with it on the fly. But the education system, you know, you got teachers going there at 7 o'clock in the morning and not leaving until 8 o'clock at night, doing 50 plus videos for kids, getting lesson plans together. The rest of the school, principals all the way down to staff helping out just to try to get the kids the homework and do all that. And, you know, like I said, this is a pandemic, and as parents, grandparents, siblings, whatever it is, we got to do what we need to do to help each other as people and not expect anything in return, you know. It's really hard right now for everybody, and everybody's struggling in some way or form. But the main thing we got to remember is we're all people, whether religious background, political affiliation, or whatnot. We all need to stick together right now and get through this. Like I said, none of us planned this or had any kind of idea on how to deal with it, but the UPIC way is stick together and teach each other. And I think that's what we need to do right now and not expect anything in return, but just be there for each other. But most of all, those teachers at the schools are doing a great job and putting in a ton of extra time and work to make sure these kids are educated.
Great. Thank you very much for calling and acknowledging that.
Thank you so much. And like I said, if we all can just stick together as people and pull through these last, you know, few months, it seems like there might be light at the end of the tunnel. But more than anything, you know, the UPIC way is stick together. Wilson Green just said it perfectly, you know, stick together and help each other. And don't expect anything in return right now. Just do something for somebody. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad you called and waited to speak. Okay. Oh, okay, good. Our lines are open, and, you know, we do have a five-minute policy for calls, and things go along pretty well like that. I mean, periodically there are calls that take a little bit longer, and that's because I'm not comfortable interrupting people, and then maybe they're talking about something that seems, you know, really important, and so there are times when I might not catch the 5 minute, and I apologize for that, and I thank you for your patience. So we're going to go to Noah from Tuluksac. Good morning. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
Yes, a lot of information flushing up through the program there.
That's right, yep.
And Wilson's whatever, encouraging people. And if we all work together and use the protocols, like using face masks, distancing, plus protocols on everyone, working together and encouraging the frontline people that are doing the taking care of them, people that are affected. Those are the people that need to be encouraged a must, along with them that are providing it. I know YK is doing their best to giving the information out, which is great. And that's the measure where we can't detect, you know, virus, we couldn't even detect it until we were tested. That's the keynote here. Thank God that they found visine or treatment for it, but it has to go to FDA, and it's going through process, including London. And it's scientists are finding the solution. And the data and facts are speaking out. I've been watching through the news, yeah. But how much death it took in America, including Alaska. And it's affecting all over. So if we have one mind and one heart dealing with following the protocols, thank you very much for taking my call and have a happy holiday.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, thank you, Noah. We have a Susan from Bethel. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
I've been trying to get on, but I perfectly understand letting some people talk longer because they have lived through their experience, and that is the most valuable information. So I do appreciate you not cutting off some people that did talk longer because they are people that I'm really listening to, too. They've been through this.
Mm, okay. Good.
And I want to appreciate you for, like, bending the rules a little bit on that case. And as far as the vaccination being mandatory, it's not going to be mandatory. This is America, but I really strongly encourage that people take this vaccination. There's different versions of it down the pike. Most of them require the booster shot where you get another one 3 weeks later. But that's a good thing. That makes it more effective and makes it safer. Now, there is one company that's trying to do a one-and-done vaccination, and that's Johnson & Johnson. But they're behind the other three. There's three versions ahead of them. Pfizer looks like the one that will probably be hit with that and Moderna. And those, the unique situation of how they made those vaccinations has opened up the door for other disease solving problems.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the immunotherapy was an exciting chapter in cancer research. Well, I'm going to tell you the next exciting chapter is going to be what has come out of this vaccination research. That's going to lead on to the cancer research leaps and bounds.
Wow.
I've been reading on all of this stuff. The vaccination, if it has side effects, it's like when you get a flu shot or something. It's not side effects of anything tells you it's working. I've told myself that all through my cancer-fighting adventure. Mm. Side effects tell you it's working. And you know what? The vaccination is a better option than catching the disease itself.
Mm.
It really is. Even people that are asymmetric, they don't know what's left in their lungs and stuff from this disease. This disease is too new. You know, it's too new. We're all learning. And people just need to say this is a exciting venture, exciting light at the end of the tunnel. But at the same time, we still need to hunker down. Again, there's a 3 week later booster shot situation with this. There's a situation where, yeah, it stopped you from getting sick from it, but you could still catch and spread it to others, but you're not sick from it. So we still got to wear the mask. We still got to avoid gatherings. This is going to go on till, you know, even though the vaccinations, the tail end of it, last of it comes out in the spring, I see summertime as slowly, slowly, slowly maybe opening up, maybe.
Mm.
And I say maybe because, you know, people say, what's the plan? I want to hear a plan. What's the plan? Well, we're learning as we go, and the news, the local news, the state news, the national news has been totally honest with us on the upswing of this virus. They've been totally honest about the medical staff and the medical situations are strained. Total honesty, okay? Anyone that sugarcoats it, that's what I call fake news.
Mm.
You know,
okay, good.
We're grown-ass people. We can take the news. We can take the news as it comes. And we can accept it and do what we need to do. And masks slow down the spread. Yes, the numbers are going up, but it's people catching it at lunch break or babysitting or smoke breaks. You know, they let their guard down. And anyone that's caught it can maybe figure out how they caught it or who they caught it from, because it spreads very easily, and the symptoms of it don't show up till later, so you're spreading it before you even know you have it. And that's how, you know, that's how it spread. It's the most contagious thing I've ever heard of. And as far as someone thinking parents should get stipends to teach their kids, the stipend you have is you love your kids. I mean, that's pay enough. I mean, and the thing is I don't have kids, but I have a lot of friends that are parents. And they say, you know, they're learning as they do it. They're learning the new math. They're learning as their kids learn. It's kind of a bonding situation. And the teachers are working harder than ever. A lot of my, I'm retired, but a lot of my friends that are still working, they're working from home in whatever field of work they're in. And I did my own casual survey. Is it harder or easier to get the job done? And most everyone is telling me it's way more difficult working from home. It's way more difficult. Now, others say, well, I'm going to do this afterwards. I'm going to still work from home. But most of the people are telling me it's harder to get the job done working remotely from home. And yeah. I know it's harder for the teachers. I know that. Mm. And I want to put a plug in for YKHC. They're just doing excellent. I went and got a test again on Wednesday. You know, you can get a test every day somewhere. You can, literally. You can go to the airport and catch it when the people fly in. You can get a test anywhere. And I know they're doing special neighborhood testing noon to 2 tomorrow. They're doing it by the Vitus gas station. Noon to 2 tomorrow for all the people that live at Brown Slough that, you know, don't have vehicles or whatever. And then from 2:30 to 4:30, they're going to be up at Xiley, and it says the Paul John Road. So I don't know what road that is or if that's their treatment center, but they're going to set up there from 2:30 to 4:30. Because a lot of people are hunkering down out there, and they don't really want to go to town, and I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, from 2:30 to 4:30. And these are free tests, and it's done. It's very quick. It's not comfortable, but it's not really painful. It's just you got to get it done, and you do it. And it's then you can check and see if it's positive or negative. And I think anyone that can test, like, weekly even or whatever, it's a good thing to do. It's just a good way of being part of the solution on this whole thing we're in the middle of.
Okay.
Other than that, I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Mm-hmm. Good information.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye.
I'm going to do a quick anonymous email because it'll be short. There's two names mentioned in here, so I'm not going to use the names. But from anonymous, seems and the email goes like this, seems as though citizens always hog up the lines and the hosts let them talk past 10 minutes. Might as well give them their own show. But seriously, if there's rules on the amount of time each caller has, please follow your own rules. I really take that to heart. And sometimes it's very hard to interrupt people. And I make mistakes on that. So I apologize. But thank you for writing in. I'm glad you did. I'm going to go to Wilson from Kasigluk. Good morning, Wilson. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A bit frustrated this morning, but I'm glad Stephen voiced his opinion this morning about the school and how it's been going since this pandemic has taken over. You know, we are tired. We are not educators. We're not being compensated for doing more than half the work of the contracted teachers, especially the VTC teachers. All the children are falling behind, and that is causing depression all across the board with schoolwork piling up, you know, let alone the increased amount of schoolwork to top off the backing up of schoolwork. No incentive to the parent teachers, no incentives for the school kids, nothing put out. And yeah, I see the reward in the end, but you know, I'm done pushing my kids to complete their schoolwork. You know, if you think otherwise, then you know, I don't know what to tell you. I just don't want to partake in pushing our kids deeper into the hole of depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they children hit a brick wall, a sponge can absorb so much water before it can't absorb anymore.
Okay. You know? I think you have to take care of your children absolutely the way you need to.
Yeah, I'm done pushing them. I have...
Yeah.
You know, I have seven children.
Okay, so you know some things about children.
Yeah, so...
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. I really appreciate those comments.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, I think we have Joseph from Bethel. Is that right?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Aside from all that's been spoken so far, we need to take heed, and we as parents have a responsibility, and our children are a responsibility. We need to put them first in everything they do. The comments are well spoken, but if we don't guide them and make sure that they do what they're supposed to, we are no better than they are if they don't do their work, but we have a responsibility. Irregardless of how you feel and the circumstances of the outcome of what's going on, we didn't control that. It happened. It's real simple. It happened. It's going on. We have to deal with it. If you're a first-time parent and you got the amount of kids this gentleman just said he had seven, I have four, but that doesn't mean we can't give up on them. We have to make sure that they have a purpose and they still have to do their work. Not that you have to hammer them and beat them up or throw them against the wall, but they need to understand that their education comes first.
Okay.
So, and then besides all the news and bad news, good news, all that jazz, what I don't understand with this coronavirus, COVID-19, I think all the health providers need to follow every person that has this and see what the after effects are from the time they're done with their quarantine for the next 3 months, so they understand what side effects it does cause for people that of age, color, and whatnot. But for me, it was I had everything except pneumonia, and then on top of that, you know, people need to understand age does make a difference when it comes to any type of sickness.
Yeah, okay.
And then before I hang up, I'd like to thank all the DOT guys out at the airport keeping the runway clean, all the water sewer truck drivers keeping up with their deliveries, especially during the holidays. Hats off to them. And like I said, give everybody a pat on the back. That's an essential worker to keep every community in this wonderful state of Alaska and across the world so people can continue to live and try and survive. But we have to take the bad with the good and the bad good with the bad. So don't give up, parents. Stand up for your kids and do what you think is best for them. But we still have to be there to support them and let them understand they need an education to survive in this world.
Okay.
Thank you very much for
your call. Okay. Do we have, is this Wilson?
Yeah, okay. Wilson in beautiful downtown Anchorage.
Yes.
I have one important thing to bring out.
Okay, and it has to be quick, Wilson, because toward the end of the show. Go ahead.
You're impeding me, but anyway. Okay, there are a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that are contemplating, you know, quitting drinking or quitting drugging. And if anything, this COVID situation that's going on all over can become a positive for those who are thinking about needing to stop drinking or drugging. The people who have been drinking heavily, you know, their kidneys are affected, which is a negative if you have contract COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, smokers, you know, smokers or dope smokers or anything, their lungs are negatively affected by smoke, and this might be an incentive to go ahead and stop because, you know, age, like Joe said, age and negative situations about their body can be a positive to make you decide, yes, I will stop.
Okay.
Because some people stop on their own and that's it. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Good message. All right. We're going to go to Harry from Queethluck. Good morning, Harry.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, just like to make an announcement to the whole Bethel area, YK region. The Queethluck Dog Mushers non-profit association club, whatever. We have a gaming permit, but we're doing the $10,000 grand prize raffle with 10 additional winners of 500, and it's 100 a ticket and limited to 250 tickets. Anybody that's interested can contact me. And the only way is, due to COVID, bank transfer, Facebook Pay, or credit card purchase for these tickets. My phone number is 545-1676, and it all goes back to the community, the region. Hopefully we'll have a dog race by February, March.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to go, we're going to try and fit in. Sam from Bethel Search and Rescue, welcome.
Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Yeah, just to give a heads up that people are starting to run from all over all the villages towards Bethel or inter-villages. None of the holes are marked, so be careful where you go. And there's no trails marked that I know of. And if you have to come to Bethel or got to buy alcohol, please wait till you get home. I think it was last year we had 711 calls just to go find people that were intoxicated.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it takes a toll on us, and others out there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just needed to get that in there.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being there.
You too. All right.
Okay.
Bye. All right. I have a email I'm going to read, and it goes like this. This is from Bob Carlson in Bethel, and he says, please, please, folks, as a previous caller advised, stay home and don't take that COVID vaccine when it arrives here. After all, you can't tell what's in it, unless, of course, you have a PhD in vaccine development. Of course, I digress, but you get the point. It might just contain a microchip, like you put in your pooch. And then where would you be? I will, however, selflessly step up and be the first in line. We'll let you know how it turns out. Now, I think, I could be wrong, I think he's being sarcastic and he's poking fun. So anyway, it's hard over email to sometimes, transfer some of these things. Okay, another email goes like this. Good morning, Diane. Joe here from somewhere in the ether or on the ether. What never ceases to amaze me in this current political climate are the hordes of uneducated loudmouths who have never accomplished anything meaningful in their lives, who have no problem disrespecting and downright spouting nonsense and hatred for medical professionals and scientists who have had the initiative and gumption to get an education and dedicate their lives to service. I have four sisters, one brother, two sisters-in-law, and a couple of nieces and nephews who are healthcare professionals. And if you tried to lay that nonsensical opinion on them, you need to be careful. I'm not gonna read the full vivid description there. Anyway, thanks. He goes on to write, respected my 5 minutes, I hope. Okay, yes, we tried to get that. All right, so I believe that is our show. Thank you to the 19 to 20 callers and the 3 emails. Really appreciate it. Look forward to hearing from you next week. I will try to be more hardcore about that 5 minutes, so fear not. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.